Hey, I'm Kelby, and I love cartoons. If you're anything like me, cartoons and animation provide a well-needed escape from the stresses of the real world. So come join me in this little corner of the world that I've created for myself and for you too. We all like cartoons here. Welcome to Kelby's Cartoon Corner. This week, I'm coming at you with Code Lyoko. Code Lyoko was originally a French cartoon that was imported over to Cartoon Network, and it aired for 4 seasons from 2003 to 2007. This show has a really catchy theme song, I think it has a pretty unique visual style, and the main cast is really fun. So whether Code Lyoko is a show that you remember, or if you're just looking for something new to watch, let's escape into Code Lyoko together. Alright, I'ma just be real with y'all. When I slated out my year and I planned to cover Code Lyoko, I remembered it being really fun and edgy and cool. And it's not that it's not. I just got really caught up in a lot of nitpicky stuff that distracted me from what makes the show really good. I feel like I say this later in the script, but like, I started watching this show in November of 2020, and it is presently January of 2021, and I just finished season 4 today. Like, it took me forever to get the show watched, and I don't know, it wasn't bad. It's just, yeet. That's a great way to start out this. Okay, so I had a whole script typed out, and I was just like, you know what? No, we're not going to read from that script, where I, like, really try to defend this show. Mm-mm, we're not going to do that. Okay, so I'm going to come back into it. I love the kids. I love all of them. They're so fun and cute, and I'll talk about all of my gripes with the show and why I tried to look past them, but I just need to warn you. I'm going to try really hard to do this show justice, and I will say up top that I love season 4. The 3D animation is so clean by the end, and I love the way that they did the character redesigns on Lyoko and in the real world, but it just felt like it took them until season 4 to finally find a groove and like a visual style that they wanted to go with. Season 4 could have been the whole show, and I would have been fine with that, but I'll come back to that later. So, first of all, I said up top that the show is French. How many French cartoons can you name that became super popular or even kind of popular in the US? How many French cartoons can you name? That alone is really cool. So, the show that we know as Code Lyoko actually started as a student film, and it was originally titled something in French, but it translates to The Children and Their Movie. And then that short film eventually evolved into a pilot for a 26-episode show called Garage Kids, which then evolved again into what we now know as Code Lyoko. So the show has like a really, like a spotty past. Because of that, I feel like that translates into like, it has a really weird past, and so it took them a really long time to try to find their footing and what they wanted the show to be. And that's why it feels like it took until season 4 for it to finally get not good. It's not that the show wasn't good all throughout. It's just that season 4 felt so good and so cohesive in story and visual style. And I just hate that it took them 4 seasons to get there. Because that's it. It took them 4 seasons and then the show was done. So I hate that it took that long to get to where the show was something where I would have wanted to watch. Like, I would have watched 4 seasons worth of what the show eventually became in season 4. But we didn't get that. But that's okay. This show is almost 20 years old, so I'm willing to let a little bit of that go. So I found a version of the pilot on YouTube, and I kind of hoped that it would provide some more context for the actual show, but it doesn't. It is really cool to see, though. I said I was going to hit on that later, but I actually never speak about it again in the script. So let me just say, I like the pilot, or the, like, whatever, the Garage Kids, what it was originally supposed to be. I like it. But it's different. Not that that's bad. It's just different. Like, in the show, in Code Lyoko, the kids only have powers on Lyoko in the virtual world, right? And in the pilot for the show, or whatever, in Garage Kids, they had their powers in real life. Which is cool, but also kind of, when you're watching something animated, there's a little bit of I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Like, you know, because it's a cartoon, they're able to do things that we wouldn't be able to do in, like, a live-action thing. Like, that's the reason, not the reason, but, like, one of the reasons that the live-action Avatar movie slash whatever the Netflix show is going to end up being is hard to do, because if when you animate it, it's really easy. It's easy to draw a 12-year-old that can perform these incredibly difficult martial arts moves and like all this really complicated choreography and stuff like that. It's really hard to find someone who looks like they are 12, can act well enough that it's believable, and also perform all these martial arts and stuff, or like find like a body double that kind of looks like them or whatever. So there's a little bit of like disbanding of reality or something like that, where like, you know, like you can see that it's animated and therefore like anything goes because it's animated, it's a cartoon. But at the same time, I don't know how I feel about the kids having their powers in the real world. So I'm kind of glad that they didn't use that. And the only one that we actually saw in Garage Kids is Yumi, who had telekinesis, which is something that she doesn't develop in the show until later. I don't even know when she develops it, because I skipped around a lot, so she could have developed this power in like the middle of season 2 and I wouldn't have known because I skipped most of season 2. So that was one thing that was different, was the fact that the kids had their powers in the real world versus only having weird superpowers on Lyoko, which makes more sense to me for them to only have powers on Lyoko, because it's set up like it's supposed to be kind of like a video game or something. So that makes sense to me that they would only have powers on Lyoko. It's weird that they would have like weird superpowers in real life and then also have them on Lyoko. Like, I don't know if that makes sense. In my head, that makes sense to me, but like, meh. Another one of the things that was different in the pilot, and this is something that I really wish that they had kept, is Ulrich's sword is made of binary code, and that's like one of the things that everybody talks about when they're talking about the differences between the Garage Kids pilot and what the show would later become, is that Ulrich's sword is made of binary code, and I really wish that they had kept that, because that looked super cool. The 3D animation that they used on the pilot is very scary, but it's because it was made, like, probably on somebody's computer, like, in their basement in, like, 2001. But you can tell. It's scary looking. But the one thing that looks really cool is Ulrich's sword. Like, they really put a lot of thought into that sword. And I think that's really cool. And I wish that they had kept that, but they didn't. Those are the only two things that I wanted to talk about. The differences between the pilot and what the show would eventually become is just the fact that they had powers outside of Lyoko and Ulrich's sword. Those are the only two things. That's really the only two things that I remember. The pilot is not very long. The version that I saw, and like, I don't think it's the original version because the like file was titled Garage Kids, but I sped it up by a couple hundred frames or something like that. Like somebody had gone over and like touched it up. And I appreciate that. But at the same time, it's not very long. It's only, I think it's maybe 5 minutes, which is fine. That's enough for it. Like, a pilot does not need to be a whole 22-minute fully produced episode of a show. That's fine. I'm okay with that. It's different. Okay, that's all I'm gonna say. I did not put that into my script, so I had to figure out a way that I was gonna, like, whoop whoop, and bring myself back in. So here we go. So I found a version of the pilot on YouTube. I kind of hoped that it would provide more context, but it didn't. I really, really like the concept of this show. I think it's a cool idea. I just have issues with the execution of this really cool idea. And I feel like I need to keep justifying that. I feel like I need to keep justifying why I'm nagging on this show so hard. So Code Lyoko follows the story of four kids who all go to the same boarding school. Jeremy, Ulrich, Odd, his name is Odd, it's whatever, and Yumi. These are the four main kids. And there are some other kids that come in throughout the rest of the show, but these are the four that we really focus, well, technically five, but four that are at the school in the real world. Four. So one night, Jeremy is trying to find some parts for a robot that he's building for a project. He needs something and he can't find it at the school, but he remembers that there's an old abandoned factory on the edge of town and there's a way to sneak in from the forest outside the school. So he sneaks out of his room after lights out and he makes his way to the factory. But once he gets there, he discovers that there's a supercomputer in the basement. So of course he turns it on. I think he says, I hope I don't come to regret this later. And bruh, he does almost immediately. So he turns on this computer. And when he does, he discovers an AI that's living inside of it. Her name is Aelita, and she lives in this virtual world called Lyoko. He spends most of the night asking Aelita what she's doing in this virtual world, and then the next morning, he goes to get, like, a coffee or something out of a vending machine at school, and he gets electrocuted. Jeremy doesn't know it at the time, but when he turned on the supercomputer, he awakened an evil AI named Xana. And Xana has the ability to possess random objects to wreak havoc in the real world. So Xana possessed the vending machine, and then later does the same thing to the robot that Jeremy is working on. Ulrich, one of the other main characters, comes in to check on Jeremy after he'd been electrocuted, and he finds him being attacked by his robot. Jeremy knows that he's in over his head, so he asks Ulrich to keep a secret, and then he takes him to the factory to show him what's up. Jeremy shows Ulrich the computer and Aelita and some giant scanners in the basement that he thinks will allow someone to be virtualized and to enter Lyoko. He explains to Ulrich that Aelita is the key to defeating Xana. When Xana attacks, he activates these towers that are spread all over Lyoko, and the only way to deactivate them is for Aelita to enter them and enter... Yeah, is to go into the towers and enter a code. But Xana also has the help of a bunch of monsters, and they attack Aelita anytime she gets close, so she can't be there by herself. She needs backup. All of this stuff takes place over the course of 2 episodes, so I'm gonna summarize. Jeremy convinces Ulrich to go to Lyoko to help, and they also recruit Odd, who is Ulrich's roommate, and Yumi, who doesn't live at the school but takes a martial arts class with Ulrich, so they're all connected. Together, the three kids go to Lyoko, and they help Aelita defeat Xana's monsters and deactivate the towers. When they're done, Jeremy can devirtualize them and bring them back to reality. There goes gravity. So, I mentioned before that the kind of shows that I tend to get really invested in are stories where kids are taking on responsibilities to save the world. Sometimes these kids have superpowers, sometimes it's destiny, and in the case of Code Lyoko, it's kind of just random chance and some dumb luck, but the formula is the same. It's a group of kids having to work together to save the world. And that's the kind of show that I like. I think the concept of the show is super cool too, especially in 2003. Like, now we're living in an age where the concept of being in a video game is kind of worn out. We're in the age of Wreck-It Ralph and Ready Player One, Sword Art Online, and I think Regular Show even did an episode where Rigby was, like, living in a video game. So now that idea is kind of exhausted. But in 2003, this was a brand new idea, and I think conceptually Code Lyoko was really cool. My main issue is with the execution of this concept, and I have to remind myself as I watch this show that it's almost 20 years old, but some of the issues aren't even technical. Like, I have issues with the story and basic continuity. So, first of all, that whole backstory that I gave up top is not the pilot episode. Again, this show has a really weird, confusing, spotty history, so that whole thing is not the pilot episode. The pilot episode is like 5 minutes long, and a lot of stuff is different. But that backstory is not the pilot episode. That is a retrospective that is given to us in the middle of season 3, and I have issues with that. It's just, without that concept, we're just dropped into a world and expected to follow along with a story that we never got properly introduced to. The first episode of the show takes place right before a big dance, and the kids are joking and laughing with each other, and then Jeremy gets a notification on his computer that Xana has launched an attack, and that they need to go to Lyoko right away. And then all the kids just dip to this factory, and that's episode 1. Also, I'll touch on this later, but I just want to throw it out there because it just came to me very suddenly. One of the things that I noticed a lot this watch through is the use of recycled animation, and one of the shots they use a lot in season 1, maybe not a lot, but it came to me very suddenly, so I know it happens a couple of different times, is Yumi in her bathroom just wearing a shirt and underwear answering her phone when someone calls her. Like, the shot is of her just standing in the bathroom with the shower running and her back is to the camera, and maybe they animated it that way with the intention of using it multiple times. I just really suddenly remembered that that was a shot that we see a lot in season 1. Like, it makes sense because Yumi doesn't live at the school with the other kids. It just seems like a weird shot. Like, that made it through development. Like, y'all didn't have any other place that Yumi could have been. Not in the kitchen or in her bedroom. Like, in the bathroom, always getting ready to get in the shower. It just seems weird, but I might be nitpicking a little bit too much. I don't know. It's just because I think there's like a scene that got cut from like the original French version when it got imported over to the US. I think there's like a scene where like Sissy is getting dressed and she's like in her bra and underwear, and that got cut because it was like too risque for American audiences. But like, we can have this weird shot of Yumi just standing in her underwear and a t-shirt getting ready to get into the shower answering the phone. I don't know what, I mean, I guess because she's not like completely, almost entirely exposed, maybe that's why it made it through. I don't know. It just seems like an odd Like, if that is the case, if they did do it, like, with the intent of reusing it multiple times, again, y'all couldn't have put her in any other room. Like, she couldn't have been in her bedroom or in the kitchen or, like, just chilling in the living room for some reason. Like, she had to be in the bathroom getting ready to shower. Every time someone calls her in season one, she's, like, getting ready to get in the shower. I think there's one scene where she actually is in the tub. She's, like, in the tub with cucumbers on her face or something, and, like, Ulrich calls her and is like, hey, we need to go to the factory. And she's like, ah, okay. Like, y'all couldn't have... Really? Just like anything, any other place she could have been. But no, she had to be getting ready to get in the shower. That's fine. Okay. I went on for far too long talking about that. So while we're on the subject of animation, one of the things that is really iconic about this show is the fact that they used 2D and 3D animation. When the kids are at school, they use traditional 2D, but when they go to Lyoko, they're in 3D. And that's a really cool idea. I like having a clear change in the visual style based on location. And this is where, yeah, the 3D animation of the pilot is scary. The Garage Kids 3D segment is terrifying. Like, Ulrich's head is not the right dimensions. His eyes are really weird. And again, it was probably made in 2001 or 2002, like, in someone's basement computer. Like, I get it. But, like, I understand that animation from 20 years ago wouldn't necessarily always hold up, but that doesn't change the fact that it's terrifying, and I just wanted to throw that out there. And even in Lyoko, the 3D animation isn't great, but it is cool until season 4. Season 4 Lyoko is so cool. It's really, really clean, and I think it holds up really well. I'm not an animation expert by any means, but I definitely noticed a spike in the quality of the animation by season 4. I'm going to try to break this down by season and talk about the main goal of each season. Okay, so in season 1, the kids are basically just trying to tread water and keep Xana at bay. Jeremy, low-key, slowly falls in love with Aelita, and he's pretty sure that he can materialize her into the real world. So season 1 is basically focused on Jeremy working day and night to write a program that can bring Aelita to life. And all of that is happening in the background. Like, that's the main goal of the season. But from episode to episode, it doesn't really feel like the story progresses very much. Like, I watched the first 10 episodes of season 1, and then I skipped to the last 5, and I was able to follow along with the story, no problem. Literally, from episode 10 to episode 23 of season 1, nothing happens to advance the plot past what I could reasonably put together. And again, I have issue with that. Like, if I can skip most of your show and still follow along with what's happening, if it's gonna have, like, okay, I'm not saying that every single episode has to drive the plot forward, but when 90% of the season is, like, filler, and I can put together, if I only have to watch 5 episodes to know what the story is about, that's not good on your, like, storytelling ability. And it gets better as it goes on, but also, that's not good. Like, I applaud the, like, people who were in charge of development at Cartoon Network and onto films in 2003 and 2004, who were like, we have faith in this story. We know this is going to go somewhere. Bless y'all. Because it did. It did go somewhere. But, like, season 1 is very rough. Okay. So, yeah. So I skipped to the last, like, 5 episodes. And that's great if you're trying to binge a whole show in a week, but it's not great if you want to keep your audience engaged. I started watching the show back in November, and now it's mid-January, and I haven't been able to watch more than 3 or 4 episodes in a sitting because I just can't get into it. Like, okay, for a show that is so heavily focused on we gotta save the world and everything is really urgent, a lot of time is spent moving from location to location. Like, there are full 2-minute scenes of the kids running from the school, through the sewers, through the factory, into the scanner room, and then to Lyoko. And, like, I understand that, like, it takes time to move from location to location, but it's also a cartoon, and we don't need to physically see them skateboarding through the sewer to understand how they get to the factory. But you know what we do need to see in order to have context? Is them coming up with the names of the creatures on Lyoko, or them suddenly developing their powers. Like, I don't need to see Ulrich yeet his skateboard onto the ground as hard as humanly possible, and then do a really cool jump over a railing through the sewer. But I do need to know how he figures out that he can multiply himself on Lyoko. And this is one of my biggest gripes of the whole show, especially really early on, because again, we don't get the context of the show until halfway through season three. So we're just dropped into this world and we're expected to follow along with the story and like understand all this lingo and stuff that they're throwing at us. And we have zero context for it. Like, okay, it feels like the characters are spending a lot of time on Lyoko off screen and getting engrossed in this world, but then there's nothing to bring us as the audience up to speed. Like, we'll suddenly see a new monster and Jeremy will come over the headset and say, "Heads up, you've got three hornets coming at you." And then we will all of a sudden see a new creature that we've never seen before. And like, maybe I'm ragging too hard on this show, because some of them are not too crazy. Like, the crabs look like crabs. The blocks are just cubes with legs. I understand that. Tarantulas, tanks. They're really easy to see why they're called that, but their powers is what gets me. Like, episode one, Auric has a sword, Yumi has fans, Odd can shoot arrows. And then episode three, Auric can triplicate, like he can multiply himself. And there is no in-universe explanation of how he figured that out. Did Jeremy discover a new line of code? Or is this them developing, like, leveling up in a video game? Like, there's nothing ever said to bring us up to speed. And this happens several times. Yumi all of a sudden has telekinetic powers. Auric can run super fast. And Aelita can just, like, make stuff appear. And even, like, in season four, Odd can all of a sudden create this shield. And, like, that, okay, see, anything that happens in season four that I don't understand, I'm blaming myself, because I skipped around a lot in season four because I was just trying to really quickly finish the show. Like, I had, like, today, I just finished the show. I finished the show today, and I didn't feel like I had enough time to watch all of season four. So I watched the last, like, five episodes so I could see the end arc and know what was going on. But, like, Odd all of a sudden having a shield, I can write off as being, oh, that's my fault because I skipped around. But, like, when you go from episode one to episode three and all of a sudden they have new, and I've seen all the episodes. Like, I've seen episodes 1 through 10 of season one. And all of a sudden, Auric has new powers. And there is no in-universe explanation as to how he discovered that he had these powers. I take issue with that because I, as the viewer and, like, the person who's supposed to be experiencing this world with you, need to know. Like, I don't need to know everything that's happening, but if something like that happens, where all of a sudden you have a new power, I need to know how that happened. Like, in order to be fully immersed in this world, I need to know, if a random ability develops, I need to know how you discovered that. All right. I'm gonna stop yelling at these poor creators of the show. Yeet. Okay. So, again, season one is all about materializing Aelita. Jeremy works for a lot of time, and he finally figures it out. They run a bunch of tests to make sure that it's really going to work. Yo, okay, you want to know how they figure out that this... I am so close to swearing. I am not... Woo, okay. So, the way that they find out that this program actually works is because Yumi... Okay. Okay, this show is 20 years old, so I don't feel like I need to say spoiler warning, but, like, also spoiler warning. So it's like they're getting ready to bring Aelita into the real world, and Jeremy's like, "Yes, I'm 100% confident that this program will work. We're good." And Aelita's like, "Great." And then Xana launches an attack. So they all have to go to Lyoko. And then I don't remember exactly what happens, but Yumi dies. Like, Yumi literally is like, she ceases to exist. She falls into the virtual sea. She doesn't exist anymore. And so Jeremy has to, he's like got one shot to run this program. And then I don't remember why, but he only has one shot to do it. Like, it's only going to be able to run one time, and then, like, something's going to happen to the computer or something. I don't remember. But, like, he has to run this program to bring Yumi back to life. Like, Yumi literally dies. And that's how they're like, oh, good, yes, the program will work. And then it, like, deletes all the code or something. And so then he has to go back, and he has to rewrite this entire program again. But, like, Yumi literally died. And I don't feel like anyone talks about that. Like, this is season one, my guy. Like, this is not even, like, I'm super invested in these characters, and, like, all of a sudden one of them just got offed by the big bad. It was like, I mean, probably halfway through season one, but still, like, she just died. And I feel like we don't talk about that. Okay, so they know that the program is going to work. And they want to get Aelita off of Lyoko so that they can shut the supercomputer down. That's the goal of the entire show, is to shut down the computer. Each season just prevents different obstacles to prevent them from doing that. So at the end of season one, they finally bring Aelita to the real world, but whenever they try to turn off the computer, she basically dies. Like, okay, she doesn't die, but she does get close. Like, she passes out and almost dies. So Jeremy figures out that it's because right before she was fully materialized, Xana gave her a virus that binds her to Lyoko, even though now she's technically human. So in season two, they decide that Aelita is going to stay in the real world and live at the school. Like, they go through this whole process of, like, they get her a birth certificate and they, like, I don't remember what all else they have to do, but they, like, make it seem like she's a real person. Like, they do a lot of, and that's, again, if this show was not, I can justify a lot of the things that are happening because cartoon. And, like, that's one of the things is, like, how the heck are 4 13-year-olds gonna get access? I mean, Jeremy is, like, making all these programs, so I'm sure that he has the ability to, like, hack into some sort of computer system and create a birth certificate for this girl. So, again, I can write that off as being because cartoon. So they go through this whole process to make Aelita seem real, and then whenever they need to deactivate a tower, Aelita will just be virtualized along with the rest of the gang. But along with the virus, Xana has also created a new enemy, which again, we don't see them name, but all of a sudden, the next episode, they start calling it the Skiffozoa. Skiffozoa? I've heard it pronounced two different ways, so whatever. It's like this giant jellyfish thing. And again, they just throw this name out there, and then we're just supposed to know what they're talking about. So this, I think it's Skiffozoa. It's, phonetically, it's spelled Skiffozoa, like P-H. So that's what I'm going to say. So it's trying to steal Aelita's memories, and I can't remember the exact order of events in season two, but I think it goes, they discover the journal of a man named Franz Hopper, who they discover created the supercomputer and Lyoko. Then they find his diary, and Jeremy spends a lot of time decoding it. And then they learn that he's trapped on Lyoko, and that Aelita is his daughter. So she has previously been human. She's just been trapped in the supercomputer for, like, God knows how long. So, again, I don't remember the exact order of events, but season two is the best as far as story goes. It feels like they have more to do this season than just wait around for Jeremy to write all these programs and stuff. And now they have Aelita in the real world to help him do that. So it's not just, like, the kids going around doing kid stuff while Jeremy's, like, holed up in his room writing all these programs. Like, it feels like all of them together as a unit have, like, a common goal, but also, like, they can all be doing something rather than just, like, sitting in Jeremy's room watching him type on his computer. So at the end of season two, they learn that Xana didn't give Aelita a virus, it stole her memories of being human. Because if she remembers her human life, then she won't have a tie to Lyoko anymore. But she gets her memories back, and it's like, finally, we can turn off this computer. Except we can't. Because Franz Hopper is still on Lyoko somewhere, and if we turn off the computer, he'll be lost forever. Season 3. Season 3 is the shortest out of the four, at only 15 episodes, and honestly, I skipped it. I've seen the show before, not the whole thing, but, like, I've seen up to through season 3, I think, and season 3 is the season that I remember the most. I watched the first two episodes just to kind of get my bearings, and then I skipped the rest of it, and honestly, it was fine. I was able to put together the plot. Look, normally I try to watch the entirety of a show before I do these episodes, but there are, like, 70 episodes of this show, and most of them are the same formula over and over again. It's taken me 3 months to even make a dent, plus I'm trying to watch Korra and take notes, I'm still trying to trudge through Adventure Time, and I have to start Wild Thornberries this week, and I have a full-time job. I work second shift, I'm doing my best with what I can. I'd love for this to be my whole job, but we're not anywhere close to that yet. Maybe someday. Like, look, I love my regular job too, but if this could be my full-time job, one, it would make my life way easier as far as scheduling goes, but it would also be super fun. But I'm okay with doing this for right now. It's just sometimes I can't watch the entirety of a show in a week. Like, sometimes I have big ideas, and sometimes it's just not feasible. Like, I can't be watching 70 episodes. One, it would be one thing to watch 70 episodes of a show that I was, like, super invested in from start to finish, but I'm just not. And that's where I'm getting with Adventure Time, too, is that I know it's gonna get better. I just have to, like, everybody's like, oh, you can skip season one, but, like, I can't do that. I can't just skip a whole season and, like, because then there will be all these characters that I don't know. This episode is not about Adventure Time. Not yet. So, I missed a few things when I explained Lyoko. Lyoko is split up into four sectors. The mountains, the forest, the ice, and the desert. Also in season two, they discover the fifth sector, which is like the heart of Lyoko. I didn't touch on that, but again, season two was the best as far as plot and world building goes. They really put a lot of stuff into season two. And it feels like some of that stuff could have been in season one and we could have been a little bit more invested, but like, that's fine. So surrounding each sector is what they call the virtual sea. And I don't really know what that is, but I do know that if they fall into it, they're gone for good. Again, Yumi fell in, Yumi died. So it's not good if you fall into the virtual sea. Like, there's no bringing you back except for that one time that Yumi died, because we did bring her back. But that was a once in a lifetime thing. So at the start of season three, Jeremy gets an alert that Xana launched an attack. So he sends Aelita and Odd to check it out. But once they get there, they realize that there aren't any activated towers. And also, Xana is raising the level of the virtual sea, effectively flooding Lyoko so the kids can't get to the towers. Season 3 is the kids kind of trying to race to save Lyoko from flooding completely, but it's a losing battle. Slowly, Xana floods all of Lyoko, sector by sector, until all that's left is Sector 5. Also, something I forgot to mention is that Xana can possess people along with random inanimate objects. He possessed Aelita at least once, and Jeremy a few times, I think. There was a whole episode where Xana made copies of all the kids and sent them around school kissing each other's crushes. It was real weird. But anyway, Xana can 100% possess people, not just things. In the background of everything, there's this kid named William who has a thing for Yumi, but she and Ulrich are like into each other, but neither one of them will admit it. And William confronts Yumi one day about why she's always missing class, and he backs her into a corner so that she has no choice but to introduce him to Lyoko. And I don't remember exactly how it happens, but he joins the gang and they take him to Lyoko, and within like seconds, Xana has possessed him. And then he takes William away and he just disappears. But Xana makes a weird copy of him to live in the real world so none of the teachers or anyone gets suspicious. So William becomes the unofficial villain of seasons 3 and 4. Season 3 is really short, and I don't remember exactly when they take William to Lyoko, but it's sometime in season 3. So, like, that could happen in the last, like, two episodes of season 3, and then he's just the villain for season 4. I don't remember. And again, I skipped season 3, so, like, meh. So, in season 4, Jeremy and Aelita are working on programming this submarine that the gang can use to travel around. I had to piece some stuff together because I watched the first, like, 3 or 4 episodes, and then I skipped to the last 5 because I was running out of time to finish the show before I had to script it, but again, I was able to piece stuff together. Jeremy discovers that Xana uses the virtual sea to travel to the different towers, but beyond that, there's a virtual ocean, which I think is basically like the internet, and it links every computer in the world to each other, including a bunch of other supercomputers. So they learn that Xana is hopping around, activating all these different supercomputers, and trying to gather energy and assemble an army of robots to enslave all of humanity. Like, we went 0 to 100 with the way that Xana was launching these attacks and what he was doing. Like, honestly, I mean, in season one, it was like, hey, not that, like, okay. So, in season one, it was like, ooh, in season one, it was like, these two trains carrying highly radioactive, stuff are gonna crash into each other. Or, like, hey, Xana took over our school bus, and it's low-key gonna crash into this, like, power plant. Like, Xana's entire goal, like, all of season one, as far as I can remember, was just, like, hurt everyone. And, I mean, he was trying to take out the kids. Like, I get that, because everything that Xana took control of, like, the bus, the kids were on it. The trains were going through the middle of the town that they lived in. Like, I get it. But then by season four, it's like, you know what? Okay, if y'all aren't gonna let me murder you, then I'ma just make an army of robots, and they're gonna enslave all of humanity. Like, we went 0 to 100. Not real quick, because it took 3 seasons, but, like, Xana really upped his game, my guy. He really went hard in season 4. Okay, so he's gathering energy and assembling an army of robots to enslave all of humanity, and he's using William as his puppet to do whatever he needs to be done. Season 4 starts out with Aelita and Jeremy programming a submarine for the gang to use so they can be right on Xana's tail wherever he goes. The first few episodes are just them coming up with plans and whatever, and then I think episode 3 or 4 is when they actually launch the submarine, and they name it something. It's the name of a Roman battleship, and I can't remember what it's called, but they call it the Skid for short, so that's what I will continue to reference it as, is the Skid. And this is what I mean when I say that the 3D animation looks so clean in season 4. All the stuff inside the skid looks so good. Again, I'm not an expert, but I think it holds up really well. For being, what, so season 4 would have premiered in like 2007 or maybe 2008 by the time it came over to the US, I really don't know. But that's at least 12 or 13 years, 14, 13 or 14 years old, bro. It's 2021. So, like, for something to be that old and, like, still look pretty clean, again, by my standards, like, I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I think it looks really clean. So, I like it. I think it looks cool. This is my podcast. These are my opinions. Okay, so season 4, I watched up until they launched the sub, and then I skipped to the last 5 episodes, and again, was able to put everything together pretty easily, and I'm mostly okay with the ending. I mean, it's fine. It didn't hit me like a lot of endings of shows usually do, but that's fine. And again, it was probably partly because I didn't watch the entire show. Like, I didn't watch it from start to finish, and, like, maybe that would have made a difference, but, like, meh, I'm okay with it. It was an appropriate ending, is what I'm trying to say. The last 5 episodes are focused on the kids running around, trying to figure out a way to break Xana's control over William. And I feel like that's kind of the B plot of a lot of season 3 and 4. B or C plot, because again, the goal from the beginning has been to shut down the supercomputer. But we couldn't do that because Aelita was stuck on Lyoko, and then she passed out whenever we tried to shut the computer down. And then they found out that Franz Hopper was still kind of alive and stuck on Lyoko, and then Xana possessed William. So the goal has always been to shut the computer off. It's just been really complicated. Like, it's not like a point A to point B kind of a thing. It's like, oh crap, all this other stuff is happening, so we can't just, like, shut the computer off. In the background of all this, Xana has also been using different supercomputers to make replica virtual worlds. Jeremy learns that he can transport everyone to these different virtual worlds, and this is kind of what threw me off, but, like, that's my fault, again, because I skipped a lot of season 4. Like, the last I knew, Xana had flooded all of Lyoko, but then Jeremy is suddenly sending them into this virtual world with an ice sector that looks just like Lyoko. And it threw me off. But then I was able to put it together with context clues, which is great, because that's what earlier seasons were missing, was giving the audience clues about what was going on. And I appreciate that. It feels like the storytelling got a lot better. Jeremy can materialize them, or they can use the skid to move to these other virtual worlds, but then he can, like, materialize them into the real world in different areas, but, like, they're still wearing their Lyoko uniforms. So they're real, but not really real. I feel like that was probably explained and I just missed it, so that's my fault. But honestly, in a universe where they can be transported into a virtual world, I'm willing to overlook that. And again, I could have just missed that explanation because I skipped most of season 4. So that's on me, but just, that's a thing that I didn't fully put together in the last couple of episodes. But again, that's fine. That's probably on me because I skipped it. So Jeremy finds out a way to save William from Xana, but they have to launch a program at the same time that they devirtualize him. So they go to Lyoko, or whatever, some other virtual world, and they manage to launch the program just as they devirtualize William, and it works. William is finally free of Xana. Like, I don't know, there's not a lot of clear delineation of time passing in this show, so I have no idea how long William was under Xana's control, but, like, even just, I mean, the couple of times that I think he took over Aelita, I feel like it really drained her just for, like, even 5 or 10 minutes. I feel like it would be really draining to be possessed by, like, a supercomputer, like an AI. I feel like that would be really, like, physically and emotionally draining. Anyway, the last thing that they have to do is to destroy Xana completely, and then they'll be free to turn off the supercomputer. Jeremy comes up with a program to destroy Xana, and they go into the virtual world. And then they decide, okay, so they decide to leave William out of it, because the last time he came with them to Lyoko, he was there for all of about 2 minutes before Xana wrecked him. But William follows them to the factory, confused about why they don't want him to come with, and then he ends up staying behind in the factory with Jeremy, and guess what? Xana comes through a bunch of power cords and possesses William. So he knocks Jeremy out, and he goes to the scanner room to start unplugging the scanner, so if the kids get devirtualized, they don't come back. They're just gone. Yumi comes in to fight William, and Jeremy wakes up on the floor, and he comes back to the chair. He sends Aelita and Odd to Sector 5 to launch the program, but when they get there, they don't have enough power to run it. Okay, and Franz Hopper isn't, like, dead, but he's not really alive either. He's a part of Lyoko. He just doesn't have a physical body. He's just, like, this ball of floating energy. It's weird. But anyway, he shows up in Sector 5, and he basically sacrifices himself so that they have the power to run this program. So Aelita launches the program, and it wipes Xana out completely. Jeremy pulls them all back in, and then the next morning, they all go to the factory to shut down the supercomputer. They get into the room with the computer, and Yumi seems to be the only one who really wants to shut it down. Through the rest of the episode, we see some really cool retrospectives. All the kids looking back at how much they've grown and what they've done together over the last... Again, I don't know what the time frame is of this whole show. It seems like it's maybe a year or a little bit more, or at least like the span of a school year. So maybe like 9 months, or again, 9 months or like right around a year. I really don't know for sure. But whatever, this undisclosed amount of time, they're looking back to see how much they've grown. So they decide to vote. And again, Yumi is the only one who really wants to put this all behind them. And they all have legit reasons to not want to let go. Jeremy is worried that Lyoko is the only thing holding their friendship together. Aelita doesn't want to let go because it's all she has left of her family. Ulrich liked feeling like a superhero, and I really don't remember what Odd said. I just think that he thought it was fun, and, like, that's valid. Eventually, they all decide that it's best to just put this all behind them. It just takes everybody else some time to come to that conclusion. So, finally, after, again, unsure of the time, maybe a year, maybe a little bit less, somewhere right around there, they all finally come together in the factory, and they shut the computer down for good. And the end is fun. Like, the last, I don't know, 10 or 15 seconds of the episode is the kids on Lyoko looking at the camera and waving, saying goodbye. And I think that's supposed to be, like, the kids saying goodbye to a part of themselves, and for that reason I think it's really cool. Otherwise, it's weirdly meta. Like, the kids are just saying goodbye to us from Lyoko, but whatever, the ending is fine. I kind of wish that they brought William to the factory to shut down the computer. I feel like he deserves to have closure after being possessed, but he wasn't part of the original gang that, like, started this whole thing. So, I mean, whatever. I just kind of wish that they had been like, hey, would you like to come with us to shut down this computer after you've been possessed for whatever, undisclosed amount of time? Yeah, I mean, that's just me. That's just my opinion. So, overall, this show is about a group of kids fighting an evil AI that took over the supercomputer and trying to save the real world by fighting in the virtual one. And that sounds super cool. And it is cool. It's a cool show. It's fun to watch. I don't hate this show, but I do have some issues, and I would like to discuss them with y'all, because that's part of this. So, one thing that I didn't mention is the use of the Return to the Past. This is a program that Jeremy discovers hidden in the code for the supercomputer, and it literally lets them go back in time to right before Xana launched an attack. And again, that sounds super cool, but I have issues. Okay, so first of all, it's never really explained how it works. Not like, I don't need Jeremy the 13-year-old to explain how they're able to return to the past. I just need to know why they go back in time, but the kids all still have their memories. Like, okay, they launch this program and they go back in time, right? And Jeremy, Yumi, Odd, Ulrich, and eventually Aelita are the only ones who remember what happened. And at first, I thought maybe that was because they'd all been to Lyoko, and maybe being virtualized made them immune or something. But Jeremy only goes to Lyoko twice, and the first time isn't until the end of season one, so that doesn't make any sense. Then I thought maybe it was because it was contained inside the factory, like as long as you were in the factory walls, you weren't affected. But that doesn't make any sense, because multiple times, a teacher, or the police, or Sissy, or someone will follow them into the factory and discover what's going on, only to have their memory erased when Jeremy launches the Return to the Past program. And I just don't understand what the criteria is for remembering what happened before Jeremy launches this program. It's never explained, and we're just supposed to go along with it. Like, I feel like as a kid, I would have overlooked that and been like, it's fine, there are the Lyoko Warriors, that's why they don't forget. But as an adult, I have issue with that, because what is the criteria for being immune to the Return to the Past thing? I don't understand. So, again, I take issue with that. Also, Sissy is the principal's daughter, right? She follows them to the factory multiple times. I think she might even go to Lyoko once. Like, they don't show it. They don't show her on Lyoko, but I think she goes to Lyoko one time. They use her to help them get out of trouble by talking to her dad, but they never let her into the group. She never becomes an official Lyoko warrior, and, like, I get it. She's annoying and stuck up, and she's in love with Ulrich. But William is brooding and annoying and in love with Yumi, and they let him in? it backfired hugely, but, like, I feel like if William got to have a chance, Sissy should also get a chance. I feel like she could have been a huge asset to them. Even if she never went to Leoko, she could have helped them get out of trouble even more if she knew what was going on. I just feel like they could have brought her into the group and made her not even, like, an official Leoko warrior, just like, hey, somebody on the inside, like, knows, we need you to talk to your dad and tell him this is why we're missing class or something. Not that that mattered, because they could miss whatever class they wanted, and then they could just launch a Return to the Past and everything would be fine. But, like, whatever. And I feel like maybe they tried it once, and she blabbed the whole school or something, so maybe they tried. I just feel like Sissy could have been a huge help to them. You know who else could have been a huge help? Jim, the PE teacher. Again, they recruit him for, like, 2 or 3 episodes consecutively. He got fired from the school, and he was living at the factory, and he proved himself as a valuable asset to the team. And then they just wiped his memory with a Return to the Past. Having a teacher on their side could have been a great idea, and it could have provided some great, like, it could have provided some good comedy. It could have provided, like, a great, like, there could have been a whole storyline where, I don't even know. I just feel like having a teacher on their side would have been, especially if it's Jim. Like, Jim is the one who's, like, living in the dorms with them. So, like, if they were missing in the middle of the night or something, they could have been like, hey, if we go missing, you know what's going on. So, like, please don't tell the principal this is why we're gone. I just, okay. And, like, they're all smart. They're all smart kids. Like, Jeremy, obviously, is, like, one of the smartest of all of them. He's writing all these programs and running the supercomputer while the kids are in Leoko. And, like, Odd is very, like, tactical. Like, he has a very strategic mindset. He proves that several times. I just feel like between the two of them, they could have been like, yo, you know what would be dope? If we had a teacher on our side. And what better teacher to have than Jim, who lives in the dorms and is the one always getting us in trouble. If he knew what was going on, we wouldn't get in trouble as much. I don't know. I just, to me, that makes sense. But, okay. I don't like that the context for the whole show is a retrospective. Like, that's one thing. I wouldn't hate that if it had happened in season one. But, like, halfway through season three is when it happened. And maybe at the time that the show aired, that was, like, a huge light bulb moment for everybody. But for me now, it was just frustrating. Again, it's one thing to do it early in the show, but don't give me the context for something that I've already pretty much figured out 3 seasons in. It just feels weird. It feels like a weird time to give me the context of the show. Whatever. My last complaint is about the recycled animation. And, like, normally that doesn't bother me. Not a lot, at least. I think I was already just kind of mad at the show, and because it didn't feel like it flowed the way that I remember it flowing. And so I was just finding little things that irritated me. I know this isn't the only show to do this a lot. I know Digimon Adventure is, like, infamous for using recycled animation. And in that case, I think it adds to the charm. Like, they didn't have a very big budget for Digimon Adventure. Like, I get it. But I tried to tell myself the same thing here. 3D animation was probably super expensive back in 2003. And to try to do what Code Lyoko did 20 years ago with 3D animation was a big risk. But it worked. So I'm sure that they probably tried to save budget for the 3D stuff by reusing a lot of the 2D animation. And, like, I would be okay with that if Lyoko felt a little bit more alive. Like, I get that it's supposed to be a virtual world. It just feels so empty. Like, if it felt like Lyoko was this huge world that had all these landmarks and these really cool features, I think I'd be able to overlook the recycled animation a little bit more. But it's just so empty. And again, I get that 3D animation was probably super expensive. I have no frame of reference for what production was like on this show. I imagine that it was, like, a lot of stuff happening. And I imagine that, like, debating over the budget for the 3D stuff was probably a big part of it. But I'm willing to overlook all of that, I guess, because, again, season 4 is so pretty. The characters all got updated outfits on Lyoko and in the real world, and it feels like the characters got to be real friends and not just this ragtag group of people pulled together by chance. I hate that it took until season 4 for it to feel like that, and it's not like there aren't moments like that through the whole show. They're just few and far between. And that concludes my complaints about the show. So I'll say it again, I love the concept of this show, and at the time, it was really original. I always have and always will love shows or movies about kids having to come together to save the world. I remember really, why did I say that like a newscaster? That was so weird. I'm gonna keep it. I'm not gonna do that again. That's fine. I remember really liking this show as a kid, and therefore it was fun to revisit it. It was really great to actually see the end. I've never seen the ending. I love the characters. I really do. They're all different, but and they all mesh so well, like how a good group of friends should. Kiwi. I forgot to talk about Kiwi. Odd's dog. My God. Why does he look like that? Animals are usually my favorite parts of animated shows, but like, I love Kiwi's personality. He's such a loyal dog, but y'all did not have to make him look like that. You did not have to do Kiwi like that. He looks so ugly. And I'm sorry for like the four people out there that actually love Kiwi's design. That's the thing that I'm going to get a lot of hate for, isn't it? Is the fact that I like just, it's going to be Kiwi that brings this down. Everybody's going to be like, I agree with every other point that you have, but Kiwi is the cutest thing that's ever happened. And I am going to disagree with you. No. Kiwi is the ugliest little thing that I've ever seen. And I'm so sorry, because he's so, like, again, his personality is cute. I love Kiwi's personality. I hate his design. I do not hate Kiwi the dog. I hate Kiwi the dog's aesthetic. I don't like it. So y'all did not have to do Kiwi like that. But I love the kids. I love Odd. He's by far my favorite. He has the best one-liners. There's a part towards the end where he and Aelita are on like a military base in Siberia, and it makes more sense in the context of this episode, and they come up to a door that they can't unlock, and he yells, "Open up, Grandma, it's Little Red Riding Hood," and I don't know why, but that hit me so hard. Like, I had to rewatch that scene multiple times. It was just so funny. And they only have nicknames for Jeremy and Aelita, but I appreciate that they stick for the whole show. They call Aelita Princess through the whole show, not exclusively, but enough that it sticks. And Jeremy will always be Einstein, because he's smart and he's always running the computer. Einstein, that's fine. All in all, I really like Code Lyoko. I'm definitely going to watch all of season 4 now that I know it's so good. I just didn't have time to do it this time. Maybe I'll try again in a year or two. I need a break for right now. But overall, it's a really solid show. Maybe I was a little bit harsh in my criticisms, but I wouldn't have covered it if I didn't remember it fondly. I hope you enjoyed escaping into the world of Code Lyoko with me this week. Hopefully I made you want to go check it out, because it is really cool. It's worth your time, if only to see how the 3D animation progresses into season 4. I cannot say enough how much that blew my mind, especially because I essentially skipped from season 2 straight into season 4, so for me, it progressed really quickly, and, like, exponentially. It was really cool. If this is your first episode of mine, thanks for checking it out. I try to cover a variety of animated shows, new and old, so make sure to check out all the previous episodes to find your favorite show, and if you don't see it, keep checking back. I upload every Saturday with a new show to talk about. Also, don't forget to follow me on Twitter, @Kelby_cartoons. I've been live tweeting my reactions as I watch the shows that I cover. This week I'm watching The Legend of Korra for the first time, and I absolutely love it. Follow me on Facebook, too. Just search Kelby's Cartoon Corner, and please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I'll be back next week with another animated world for us to escape into together. Until then, happy Saturday, or whatever day it is, whenever you're listening. Happy whatever. Hey y'all, it's Editor Kelby, like 2 hours later. I included a little bit of bonus, not really content or anything. I just thought it was funny. I was recording the outro and Madison came in with Luna, and I just thought it was funny, and I thought maybe somebody would like to hear it, so just, that's what this is. It has nothing to do with the rest of the episode. I just thought it was fun and something that maybe somebody would want to hear, so you're welcome. I'll see you next week. I'll be back next week with another animated world for us to escape into together. Until then, hello?
That scared the fuck out of me. Hi.
I thought you were done.
No, she was big pissed. Because she was like in here and she was like rubbing her butthole all over my keyboard. So I put her down and she was like, "Mah!" And I was like, "Listen, you can't be in here while I'm trying to type."
How's your day off?
It was good. I did lots of things.
Yay!
I did, well, I mean, by lots of things, I mean I finished Code Lyoko and the script.
And knocked over
those pens.
I got you!
was done with all my work by 5.
Oh, God.
And I was like,
You could have come home and finished Code Lyoko with me.
No. You had a hard time getting through that. I don't think I could.
Listen, season 4 is so good.
But there's 3 seasons before that, and no.
But you can watch season 4 and put it all together. That's
no, I can't.
That's the shitty thing about the show, is that, like, from season to season, there's no continuity.
Bro, you were like, I hate the show.
I feel
hated
like,
it, hated it, hated it. Then it's like, the 4th season is amazing.
The 4th season is great. I can't say enough good things about the 4th season. It's so good.
Forget the rest. 4th. No, I can't.
Only watch season 4.
Only season 4.
The rest of it sucks. It doesn't suck. It's just that it's not great. I feel like when I finished it today, I, like, got up and, like, did a lap around the house. I felt like at the end of, like, a war movie when everyone's like, it's over! It's finally over! And they, like, hug.
Thank God!
It's finally done! Borderline hysterical. I was just so glad to be done with it.
Do you want me to grab Blue?
No, she could be in here. I only have 1 paragraph left. Okay. We're good.
Oh, you mean leave this door open then?
Yeah, it's fine.
Continue.
As long as she doesn't jump up here on the desk, which she very well may. Unsure.